Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here with our new life educational series with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. Here we're inviting you to learn with us from Rav Lightman what it means to live as one family. We want to take our life here in Israeli society to a new life, new horizon, to build new hope and transform it to a reality where we're all really as one family. One family means you wake up in the morning and you feel the people next to you are concerned for you, love you, they're looking after you. Everywhere you go, in the street, in the bank, at work, people are with you, they're on your side, and it feels warm and it feels good and it opens you, opens your heart, and that's how you treat them. We're all like one family. That's Dr. Lightman's vision for Israeli society, and we want to implement it. To do it each time, we take a different aspect of our lives and try to focus on it, to try to understand, feel a little bit more what it means to live as one family. And our subject today in our ancient Jewish culture is the subject of the leader and leadership. Join us. There's a lot to learn. Nitza, opening remarks. So leadership has an important role. The leader has a very significant role for society, for the people. He's responsible for shaping the image, the identity of the public. There's many books, many people have dealt with the subject of leadership. They try to decipher what his attributes are, his characteristics, a good leader. What does a leader need to succeed in leading the people, in gathering them around him? This is what we want to discuss today. So the subject, maybe we'll start with the special attributes of the great leaders of our nation. The first is Moses. Moshe, it was written that he was a loyal shepherd. And we want to understand in the first phase, what does it mean that Moses was a loyal shepherd? We see that it's not only Moses, there were other leaders that said they were shepherds. What does it mean, a loyal shepherd? First of all, if the entire nation at its foundation is a group of people that left Babylon, like we said, in the days of Abraham, that he directed them toward love of others and compassion. And the main first attribute was which was the foundation of the Jewish people, which was not a people yet. They became a people with Moses. But the foundation of the nation is chesed, compassion. That's a very big thing. It says that first and foremost, benevolence, kindness. First of all, we justify the other person. We never punish. But rather, if we do some limitations on a person, then it's for their own good. Like with our children, we can see from this simple example that the attitude to another has to be love, and then from there, for good or for bad, in judgment and in benevolence, everything has to be in the light of love. This is what our first leader taught us. And then throughout time, this group got bigger. During the times of Isaac and Jacob, all these laws of Abraham were solidifying, and they got all kinds of faces to here and faces to there, because there were generations, parents and children and grandchildren, and the people became one big family. And right up to sometimes they were fighting, like the example of Jacob's children. Therefore, there wasn't a simple attitude between them, relations. because it's like darkness came down on the relations between everyone, and that's called Galut, out of Egypt, the exile from Egypt, which is not the exile, the geographic exile, but it's the relations between them. That they would always get the learning from their leaders, how to connect more and more between them above the growing ego. This is what we learned. We spoke of it here in our discussions, that a person's ego is always growing, and of the nations and the all of humanity, always from generation to generation. So the next generation, on the one hand, is more developed, and on the other hand, it's more egoistic. It wants more. Therefore, it develops itself, its environment, etc. And then it turns out that there was a very unpleasant period, we could put it like that, where they became distant from one another to a certain extent. They didn't feel so bad about it until they understood that it's not possible. They have to work on their connection. Instead of love, they almost lost the love between them. And it's all called exile from Egypt, to such an extent that they really became distant from each other. Even though they continued living as a people, the people of Israel in Egypt, but apart from light signs of the people, the foundation of the people, that same love and connection, attitude, traditions, how to treat one another, how to judge each person, how to be connected, all these things almost disappeared. Even if they knew about it and maybe didn't forget, but they didn't see a need to behave in that manner. And really, and with this great sadness, with this attitude, they escaped Egypt. All this was around the issue of connecting to save themselves, to present themselves as a people. To save themselves as a people, sorry. And that's why all the effort at Mount Sinai that they tell us about was to be as one man with one heart. The leader that grew up in Egypt, meaning from all the, from this not so great attitude that there was between the Jews, Moses grew up among that. And how was he chosen to be the leader? Because he saw in the desert a little calf that was about to die, his leg broke or something. And then he took it on his shoulders and walked through the whole desert with him until he brought him to the right place, where this calf could continue living and be healthy. Therefore, it says about him that if you're capable of treating the people of Israel, they're always presenting Israel as a group of sheep, a herd. And so he was chosen to be the leader because of his wide heart, that he understands and knows how to relate properly and to save even the weak and the living. This is toward Moses. And apart from that, like it is told, he was standing in front of Pharaoh, saying, "My people, it's all for the people, for freedom. Connected, unifying the people." It was understood that they cannot be free They cannot be a people if we're under foreign control. So we're not independent, and at the end of the day, the Egyptians are going to lose us. So he's the one that found inside himself strength to stand up to Pharaoh, even though he was the he knew all the Egyptian traditions and everything on the one hand. On the other hand, he rose up against all that. He got the education and all those manners he got from there, but he's the step-grandchild of Pharaoh in the 40 years that he grew up there. And 40 years in Yitro's house, and from all that, he understood that they have to be a free people. And therefore, he comes to Pharaoh and demands of him to let his people go. So we see he has a big heart, a very big heart, a very big concern to protect the people. He's not afraid to stand up to Pharaoh and get into a real war with him, into conflict with him. He's maintaining the law of Abraham, of the forefathers, and he wants to continue the same thing in the worst case scenario where they're in slavery. That's a leader. Therefore, throughout all the generations, we don't have anyone more valuable or dear than Moses. He stood as a leader. What did he learn when he was being educated at Pharaoh's house and Jethro's house? What made him such a, like you said, the leader of the Jewish people? We need to understand that the manners of those people, the laws that were there, were so cruel toward the people themselves in those places, that from that he understood that it had to be otherwise. You mean the way the regimes, the leaders there, treated the masses? He saw actually the opposite form. He saw what not to do, even though Judaism, let's say, the behavior of his people and the laws and everything, it doesn't look like he learned it. Up to the age of 2, when he's breastfeeding, when he was with his mother, and they didn't know it was his mother. And then Batya, Pharaoh's daughter, took him in to her. He was taught what are Jews, where he's from, and what he is. They didn't hide it from him. The Egyptians were very straight people. He also learned that and that. But even though he learned, it was studying without the people, without being in the nation, on the one hand. And on the other hand, he still had to compare between this and that, between what's in Judaism and what's in the whole Egyptian education. And then afterwards, what he learned with Jethro was something else altogether. He taught him how to apparently compare these two approaches together. Because like when Jethro came to him and said to him, after Mount Sinai, he also taught him how to arrange society, how to arrange the people, how to divide the people into groups of 10, hundreds, thousands, how to make a judicial system. He really gave Moses the entire method of the structure of the people, of the nation. This is what we have from Jethro. So you can say that Moses, who came back to Pharaoh, he also had these three methods to lead the people, also according to Judaism, also according to the Egyptians, and also the Midian way, Jethro. So that's why he did it by force, and he had a warm heart, with, he had the understanding that we need to do it. There's no way we can get out of Egypt and be a people. And we really need to be a nation, because in this slavery in Egypt, we're going to end our lives here. We're losing ourselves here. It says that when he was young in Egypt, and he grew up, and he saw the people suffering. What does it mean that he sees the suffering of his people? He wasn't a leader yet. He was an Egyptian prince. We need to see these things along with it at the same time. He couldn't maintain himself by being Egyptian, but it was clear to him that he's Jewish and they are his brothers, that same nation. And he couldn't stop himself from feeling sorry for everything they're doing to the Jews. Another attribute that's a very strong feeling that he had, that they say about Moses, that he was very modest. He had humility. He was the most modest person on the planet, it says in the Bible. What is this attribute of humility that's so important for a leader? If I know that all of nature is one great force, and it's the force of bestowal and love, and it all acts apart from a person according to definite laws, laws of perfection, then I feel myself opposite all this as humble, that my whole goal is to maintain myself and the people, if I'm leading them, to identify, to be equal with nature. So I already feel myself small as a student of this nature, that we need to learn from it as much as possible, and those same laws that I learn, to really try to integrate them into my people and to teach them all these relations that will be in love and perfection, peace, mutual compromise, etc. Being modest is someone who knows how weak a person is, how he himself is weak, the extent to which he can bow down to each and every person in his nation. That's in the nation. He wants to serve them. He doesn't want to lead them. He wants to lead them from the power of his love, like a mother with her children. She doesn't lead them from her power, but it's her love that directs her to lead them to a good format. Not towards what she wants, but towards what will be good for them. It also the element of educate a child to his understanding, that he understands each person's soul, and that his education has to be different between each and every person. The attitude of each and every person is different. So humility, modesty means he has this natural attribute that he's considerate of each and every person out of love. And only in what's good for each person. On the one hand, that's toward the people, and on the other hand, he understands that the entire people, nation, has to identify with nature. That we won't be like like some cancerous growth in nature eating it, but rather that we'll be in balance with our entire environment. And then the environment of people and the ecological ecology, all these things will truly be very important to us. This is a great education that a person has to receive, because a person is evil by inclination, has a natural evil inclination. So we need to educate the people. We need to arrange all this education. This is what a leader has to look after. What is his goal? What is the leader's goal? His goal is to peace of the person, the family, the tribes, right up to peace of the entire world. Did you want to ask something? Yes, I wanted to ask. It's not just inside the nation, it's also with the neighbors. We can see from our history, also with Moses, to what extent he would always look after everyone. It appears that this attribute that a leader needs, humility, it's in opposition to the attribute of leadership itself. A leader, at the head of the camp, there's a leader. It's not like the Gentiles explain with a sword and I'm saying someone that gives the direction, someone at the head of the camp says, come after me, I know the direction, I know which way to go, I'm the leader, follow me. I know what's good for you, what's best for you. Only love for you, only my concern is toward you. My only concern is toward you. It is them that lead me, and I lead you. That's what the leader says. And what does it have to do with humility? Because it seems to be conflicting. The leadership is someone who stands at the top. There's something, he's at the peak of the top of the pyramid. And humility, if I draw it, when you say leadership, I see the head of the pyramid, and when you say the most modest person on the planet, I see a picture of the lowest thing. How can you explain this conflict? It's like the two opposite extremes. Again, the example of the mother, this contradiction, how a mother goes down to the child's level and sees what each one needs, and at the same time she's full of power and leads them to good things, each and every one of them, in their spirit. Educate a child in his way. You have to do it in his way, but you have to educate. This is where the heroship comes from. What does it mean, a leader that's humble? He hears each person's soul. He sees, he feels them. He lowers himself below each person to feel each one as great. If you're above everyone, you don't feel them. You're above. If you're at the same level as everyone, you can be a friend, but nothing else. If you're below everyone, and they are great in your eyes, like a baby, how great is he in his mother's eyes? For her, there's nothing more than that. And then by learning what's good for him, from the side of sympathy, humility, love, she has to afterward add the power of the attributes of a leader, being a hero, etc., to really make his life good. Otherwise, it's choking love. You know, a Polish mother. or limitless love, unconditional love. That's what I meant. That only love. She can't just give love. The love we're talking about inside this, the force of judgment, because we treat a person like they're egoist, a person. And then to bring him to a good state, you have to know his internalness, to love him as he is, and therefore to treat him in a, to limit him, or to treat him, educate him in a forcible manner, to do what's good for him. Otherwise, he will take himself to all kinds of directions, just like my ego takes me to democracy and all these directions that we have that have no limits, no borders. And then we see that we have no direction at all, and we're reaching a state that's that has no good form. There's a legend by the prophet Yechezkel that says the legend of the shepherds that left their herds, and then each one left his herd and got lost, and the other one broke his leg, and they didn't treat it, and he didn't treat sheep that were sick. He didn't truly give them. He didn't see each one. On the one hand, he didn't see each one as an individual, and he also didn't see them as a herd. And then what happened is that the entire herd dispersed in the mountains and became easy prey for the animals that were there. So he gives it as a very good allegory and as an example of leaders that failed. Leaders that didn't know how to really see the suffering on one hand and to be sensitive enough to understand what each one needs. And they didn't know how to connect and lead them to embrace and to pull and attract them, sorry. To embrace and to attract them with an embrace. That's what you need. And that's what all leaders are missing. If they're not thinking about these two things, they need to have a sympathy and judgment. There needs to be in balance. And the heroic and love, two sides. You're giving a picture gradually that suddenly we have a very interesting picture. On the one hand, the leader understands the laws of life, the laws of nature, you called it, the laws of life, how we need to live. And on the other hand, he sees the people from the, really from underneath. He sees their importance. He's sensitive to their needs. And then he makes like a connection. Like a mother understands life, she understands that you, how you need to educate a child so that he'll be able to live in love and happiness in this world. So the leader is sort of at a middle point, because it looks like a very interesting point. A mother that is in the correct state has all the elements of a leader. She knows what she wants to get out of her kids. She knows what's for the good of each of her kids. She knows the their soul, her child's soul, the little child's soul, and even a bigger child. And according to that, she directs him to all kinds of things. She directs him. Not just a mother, it's two forces, the mother, the father, parents. The Torah from your father and the morals from the mother. This all has to be in a leader. There's something they always say about leadership, that the leader has to be careful, that the fact that he's a leader won't make him feel that he's above everyone, that he's more than others, that it won't become like a goal in itself to be the at the peak, to be... It's not natural for a leader to feel that he's above, because he is above. It depends with what. It doesn't mean that he's rich. A leader in Israel was always called being wise, that he's a judge. and that he has a lot if he deals with the people. King David, King Solomon, all the leaders or prophets, they all used to sit and discuss all kinds of problems and issues. They were judges. A leader is someone who has two lines, sympathy and judgment and law. He knows the traditions. He knows the traditions of the people and how to lead them according to the principles that Abraham, their forefather, defined. They had to acquire these two attributes, otherwise leadership can be passed down from father to son. No, they would always select the leaders. There were always lots of laws about this. There wasn't dynasties like in Egypt there or all kinds of other countries of the nations of the world. Where did David come from? He was a shepherd. Where? How can a nation say that? And how? Not as a hero that he went and attacked someone and killed someone, killed a few thousand people. So in what? Yes. Just the fact that he had the correct attributes. Great. So say a person has the correct attributes and he's supposed to be the leader of Israel. They come and say to him, listen, even though you have the correct attributes and you have the sensitivity to attract people and everything, and you have everything you need, pay attention that it won't bring you to pride, that you won't feel that you're bigger than them. How can you command someone who is truly greater than everyone, otherwise he wouldn't be a leader? How can you command him, pay attention not to become pride, that you won't fall into this trap that you'll feel that you're bigger, but you are greater? You have to be connected to the people and look after the unity of the people. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself obligates everyone to serve everyone else. Everyone becomes a leader in that. So the more that you are standing, the higher you are, at the same time you have to be lower, you have to be serving people more. You have an opportunity to serve more people, let's say. Yes, that's a leader. Serving toward their good direction, that you know that you're not alone. You have Sanhedrin, you have the Knesset, the assembly. You have all these systems. You have the wise people, the elderly. There's people that you can consult with, prophets at those times, etc., etc. You rest on, apart from your great heart and your, that you're a hero and like a mother and father, that they have to hold the child, that his nature is stubborn, and they have to bring him in the correct manner in each and every generation. From generation to generation, the ego grows more and more, and they have to give him this additional education and also love and also limit him. How does he check himself? Let's look at him, how he feels. Up till now, we spoke of how he relates to the people. They say to him, pay attention not to lift your heart above others. How does he check himself? He looks in the mirror that his heart is pure and that he's not becoming too proud. Because the whole people and the whole governance of the people, it's not just him, it's priests, it's prophets. They're all actually dealing with education of the people. How does he check his heart that he's not becoming proud? Because he's around them. He's not alone. There's a king in some country That's alone. Whatever he says, everyone accepts it, and that's it. But pride is a feeling. It's an emotional thing that in your heart you'll feel you're bigger than them. You always need to hold that place of humbleness, not the system and what maintains them and everything. The acts that he defines in the people, how they need to connect. To the extent that he leads them toward unity, to toward connecting, to the extent that he's concerned and that's his main goal. Does this mean that he's not proud? Yes, because the connection makes everyone equal. It's impossible that he will be concerned for the connection and not feel himself equal to everyone and even less than them. That's the attribute of concern, of love, the attitude, the concern for connection. That covers everything. Today it's accepted that leaders, successful leaders, if we look at them, they're very charismatic, they have the ability to speak, they're very impressive, they're the greatest liars. That's true. I say that because compared to Moses, that he was hard for him to talk. He was tongue-tied. What's charisma? What is this true charisma that a leader needs? The people need to understand through his deeds that this is a person that is prepared to be a father and also a mother, the mother of everyone, that is capable of standing in front of Pharaoh and not be afraid, that he knows all the wisdom and at the same time is willing to feel himself concerned for the smallest person, that he can take the calf, carry the calf through the whole desert just to save that little spirit of the animal, an animal spirit, an animal soul. That's a leader. You mean the charisma? His charisma is that he's standing in front of Pharaoh. He was stuttered. Doesn't matter. That's the problem, that us great liars, with this pretty talk, they attract after them the people who believe them, who believe their what they say, that there's nothing truthful in what they say. There's complete lies, all those promises they make. The main thing is to reach the high place, and there they screw everyone and do what they want. That's today. What charisma did Moses have? He was tongue-tied, etc. So what charisma did he have? From his deeds. His deeds brought the charisma, that the people saw that this person is working for their good. I see it. I don't look at pretty words or anything. It's also a type of studying of the people, that according to that, we have to treat a person according to his deeds. I didn't understand. He's learning. You mean it's not just a stuttering person became the greatest leader of Israel? What did they want to show us? They wanted to show that you only check a person according to his deeds and not his words. How can the people truly be able to check his deeds? What do they have to look at to decide this leader is truly the real charismatic leader? No, you don't always agree with Moses. All these things that he says to the people to do, they do it without any desire. But afterward, when they receive the new education, each time in the new stage, then they see good results and correct results. It's always like that, just like little kids, that I force the kid to do homework or something. Does it look to him like I love him? I pressure him. I don't love him at that moment. At that moment, I treat him with judgment or with punishment. We see it from the Torah, how Aaron and the Levites, how this whole Moses' familia, the people around him, how they took the nation through this education that's not simple education. But at the end of the day, there's no choice from this great love. Moses' entourage, sorry, from this great love, this is what we have to do. Moses' charisma, you said, comes from his deeds, not from his words. This is an antithesis to what's happening today. Today we're reaching a peak in the elections here in the United States. The poster wins, the slogans, the words, the smile. Maybe even the greatest leaders in history. It's anti-words, it's anti-expressions, and he got his charisma from his deeds. And today we have the exact opposite. That's why it means we're in exile. We're in exile from all those values that we used to have, that education that we had. And we're in exile. We're really in the opposite. I'm asking, how does the public buy words? Why are we buying these words? Because that's how the people were educated. We need to educate the people to get different words. To see, we're going to be special as one man with one heart. There will be one nation as one in mutual love, mutual support. All of Israel are friends. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Mutual responsibility. We're heading towards that. To reach that, we need to, each of us, limit ourselves for the sake of society. What does that mean? Meaning being concerned, not just what I have here on my tummy. It doesn't mean to limit myself, meaning to expand, not just being concerned for myself, but also being concerned for others. But I'm also limiting myself, because I'm not just 100% thinking about myself. I have to go from 100% concern for myself to be concerned for what's in her stomach, what's in your stomach, that everyone will be happy. That everyone will be in the same situation, love thy neighbor as thyself, that you're sharing a blanket, a chair, like the Mishnah says, that you're really concerned for the other. And for that you need education, because it's against man's nature. Today we have a situation where we act according to nature. I'm, say, a taxi driver. Somebody comes, Moses comes, the new leader, and says, I think we need to take a meter out of every taxi, I think. That's good for me. They don't really use it anyhow. So in that, he's buying the taxi drivers. Yes. That's a leader. Because he's going, not what's good for the people. He's going in a manner to see who will elect him so that he'll get into power. He wants to be the leader. Not according to his character he's a leader, or according to his inner forces he's a leader, or according to his great concern for people, but rather he has charisma and he wants to be great. And what are you great? The fact that he knows how to turn people's heads. What's great about the leaders is that after they become leaders, they try to get out of things. Moses says they won't believe me, and Saul, and why are they trying to get out of it? What's good about it? If you begin, on the one hand, you want to get out of it because on a personal level, there's nothing better than if you're like everyone else. in the people where everyone's concerned for mutual love, mutual connection. To be like everyone doesn't mean being simple. It doesn't mean that you don't really have something. It's called being respected, loved. You love people. You work on these attributes. Everyone's working toward you. You're working on it toward others. This is actually, doesn't sound bad. Being a leader, it doesn't mean that you're afraid of work, but here, you're truly concerned. You have a conscious. I'm checking myself, but am I truly always the correct, most correct person in this role of the leader of my people? He's always eating himself up. It's a very difficult work. It's a great responsibility and responsibility toward himself. How can I, according to my conscience, according to my truth, how can I be 100% sure that I'm taking all these souls, these millions, and I'm responsible for everyone, and they're not making any mistake, and I'm leading them in such a way that it's impossible to be any better. He's not afraid to be under this pressure, not on his own account, but is he doing it 100% correctly, and is it possible that there's someone that could do it better? If someone comes and shows that he's capable of doing it better, he'll be happy to give it to him. Why? Because the good of the people is most important to him. Which is also the exact opposite to what we know. You can't even compare it. What are we even comparing it? It's manners, it's laws, it's a mentality, way of thinking, decision making. There's nothing to even talk about. I don't even think about it at all, how to compare with what's happening today. There's nothing to compare. We want to speak about King David as a leader. He also cried. Why did he cry? He cried, why do I have to be a judge and a ruler? He's really an example of that. It says that he's really a symbol of the governance of the people because God made him a loyal home. That's what it said about him. So that same King David, why was he seen as such an ideal leader? What made him such a symbol? Because he truly succeeded in what the conditions were at the time of connecting the nation. He succeeded to strengthen the people and the country with those same laws. What do you mean, those same laws? Of altruism, love thy neighbor as thyself. He founded this education of the people in the most deepest and basic way that wasn't before him, and that only after him we could only hope to see. When we go back to that same state, that's called love thy neighbor as thyself in Israeli society, which is called the coming of the Messiah, who is pushing us toward our ego and toward love of our brothers. David managed to bring all the tribes around him. What made him so special that he succeeded to unite around him all the tribes. There's very deep issues here that I don't want to get into, like Moses learned from Jethro, which is the Midian power, which is sort of a foreign power from Israel and from Pharaoh and from Jethro. And then he knew the opposite is how to lead the people of Israel. Here also the same with David. Since he came from Moab in one of his roots, he knew how to identify the ego in each person, to leverage it in a manner that they would be connected despite all the differences. They used to say about David that he used to do a sentence or a judge for his whole nation. It wasn't always the leader's job to do the judgment. It could be that the king is worthy of it, and it's possible that he's not worthy of it. What attributes did King David had that made him worthy of doing the judge, and what does it mean doing judgment? First of all, it's opposite things. Explain these things. Judgment is according to the ruling, what a person deserves for his heroicness or limiting himself or punishments. And tzedakah, meaning that I have to justify the other person, justice, that I support him, that I help him beyond the law. It's in sympathy. So what made him worthy of doing this judgment compared to other kings? The fact that he lived in an era, in a very difficult, egoistic era, King David. That's why he fought for 40 years. The attack of David, it's the borders of the land of Israel were the widest at that time. And this means the ego, the nature that broke out in the people, in inner wars against the increasing of the ego. He used to fight that and reached a state where he could truly succeed at uniting the people in very difficult situations. We never had an example like this in history, not before him and not after him, in which the people were really like one strong fist, everyone together, with the right head, with love, and also limitation, with sympathy and with the correct ruling in the middle line. They were maintaining love thy neighbor as thyself, like David. Therefore, the Messiah, meaning our correction that we're anticipating so much that it will all again reach that connection as one man with one heart. All of Israel, our friends, brothers, a mutual responsibility, it will come also from that same place, from that same attitude, which is called the Messiah, the son of David. The King Solomon, his main attribute was wisdom. They said he was the smartest person. They gave him a lot of wisdom and a great heart. What's the significance of this wisdom that he had, King Solomon? There's leadership that comes from sympathy, and there's leadership that comes from judgment, but they both come from love. It's stages in the development of the people. You can't say that one was good, one was better or less, King Solomon or King David, or prior to them. They were judges, prophets, etc. They were all leaders of the people, Dvorah the prophet, There were also female prophets. And here we need to understand that, first of all, it depends on the era, what era we're talking about. If he demands more limitation than sympathy, than intelligence, than wisdom. I want to put it like this. There's no doubt, and for sure, the direction was the same for everyone, toward connection, toward love of thy fellow man. This is the foundation of the people, and every leader has to take this as their goal. Otherwise, he isn't a leader of Israel. A leader of the nations of the world, fine, that's something else. And there also there's laws, because there's 70 roots. And there a leader is called that he understands the root of his people, and according to that leads his people to unite them at their root. Because in the general nature, each and every nation has a special place, a special format, where the people feel themselves in the best possible balanced manner. And especially Israel. It's very stands out here that Israel has to have unity, and this unity has to bring the people in every era of the growing ego. It gets all kinds of new formats, and sometimes it's like in the leadership of like the times of King David, and sometimes like King Solomon. But at the same time, it's the same goal, the same direction, and it only depends on the inner situation and the environment, how they lead it. It's like a mother with her child. Sometimes they treat him like, don't do this, don't do that, and sometimes you give them a candy, an ice cream. You can't always just pressure them, and you can't always just hug them. There has to be a balance. And it also depends on the conditions in the environment, internal conditions. We could get into it, but I just want to emphasize one point. There was one goal that all the leaders had, just like all the nations of the world had. If they are behaving correctly, they have to identify the foundation of the entire people, and that would be revealed in the future. And the leader of the entire nation will need to know this and learn it from us precisely. Because each and every nation is a special aspect toward the condition, love thy neighbor as thyself, which we have, Israel. It's a type of, like in white lights, there's all kinds of spectrums of colors. But still, maybe towards the end, you can speak about this expansiveness of his heart. King Solomon, he was wise, he was intelligent, and he had this wideness of heart. The heart understands, because it's King Solomon, understanding, wisdom. It means his heart was, it's not what we think, that he was just treat everyone nicely. What, yes? The deep understanding in the creation, in all of creation. Expansiveness means chassidim, that if I have the attribute of compassion, chesed, that I treat everyone with love, then this width, that my heart is wide, then I'm capable of absorbing in it all the levels of inanimate, vegetative, animate, human as one system, and then I have wisdom, that I have all of nature inside me, and I can see it from one end to the other and continue what David did. I can continue it onward toward the goal. David would strengthen, correct, work heroically, work with power, let's say. King Solomon gave it this purposeful development, what David did. Our time for this discussion is up. Thank you, Rev Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. And if we widen our hearts, we might get what we had in King Solomon's day. People sat together, we'll have peace and abundance. Thank you for being with us. So long.